Our scripture lesson this morning from the Gospel according to St. Matthew seems to bring together again kind of a judgment kind of parable. And the scripture has been speaking as we have looked in Matthew about the coming judgment, the end of time, the parousia, the eschaton, the time when Jesus would return and do his judgment upon the earth. Many scholars have interpreted this particular parable of the talents in that way. Let us hear what it says to us this day. Now listen and interpret, and may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and laid his master's money and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the house of these servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not wintered. Then you ought to have invested my money with the banker, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him who gave it to him who had the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, how do you interpret a talent? I mean, we have musical talent in abundance with our choir. People who are willing to come an hour more weekly to rehearse, then maybe, like some of them, they go home and do a little bit on the piano and try to sing their part. You know, what is a talent? What is it we have? It's described here as money. Taking greenbacks, making more out of them. I'm not sure who their investment advisor has been, but if some of the investment advisors that like Enron, I mean, you know, where would those people who invested, what would they say to the master when he said, Bring what you have. What have you done? But I think we're all invested. I mean, God has invested in each of our lives. He's invested in His Son, Jesus Christ, being our Lord and Savior. All who come to see God and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you have new life through Him. But what about the investment that God has given to each one of us? Our abilities. Maybe it's our attitudes. Maybe it's the enormous talent that we have that we don't even realize, but God is always seeking to lift those up that they might be used in the work of His adoration and praise and for the fulfillment of the life of the church. What talents are we have? The churches have used all kinds of instruments to discern. Some is in asking. In the process of going into the ordained ministry in the United Methodist Church, we are carried through a series of questions. How do you see your talent? What is your abilities? What are you capable of doing? And this goes on sometimes in college, sometimes in seminary, sometimes it's through the Board of Ordained Ministry, sometimes through a caring brother or sister. What do you see yourself in being as being a person who leads a congregation in ministry and ministry? Where are you? What talents do you have? How are you going to develop those? We used to have an instrument in my early ministry where the staff parish or the pastor parish relations committee would look at what was going on in the life of the church. And then they would make recommendations. I trust most of them were done with the attitude that this will improve our minister. Gifts and graces will help to ensure them and lift them up. And I always took it in the attitude that this was something they were trying to help me do. They were trying to get me to be a better leader. And so I took the privilege of going to Lake Junaluska and taking some of the leadership enterprises that were provided through the Southeastern jurisdiction of whatever it might be. Discerning lay people help their pastor, he or she, to be a better instruments in God's hand to speak the word. How grateful we are for those people part of the Staff Parish Relations Committee and for what they do. How blessed we can be as a congregation because of the work that they do and seeking to encourage the leadership to be in ministry with their congregation. We can interpret this parable in many different ways, but I want to come at it from the idea that the church is not really free to be the church unless we all share our talents. What God has blessed us with, what God has endowed us with, what God has given us to be used in the work of the church. The church is not going to be free to do that unless we participate. I don't know what it is that you need to do, but God, through the Holy Spirit, can lead you to do what you need to do. Many of you are already doing those things. And many of you share and give and work and pray and study and encourage others to be the people of God. But as we move into this sequence of change in leadership, I want us to make preparations for new leadership as new leadership comes to our congregation, our community of faith. One of the first things I think we can do, we have 7 weeks. I have 6 more Sundays. And what I want to lift up to you is one every week. This one this week is to pray. To pray for our new pastor coming in. And you know all different kinds of ways to pray. Sometimes prayers can cause us to put feet on them, to do things, And it might be some new ministry that we might have going on in the life of our community of faith. But this is what the church is. If it's going to be the church, the free church, it's going to be free to let God's movement and spirit directs. Now, we always have checks and balances. There are checks and balances that we bring to a community of faith. Maybe it's a prayer group. Maybe it's a group that we gather. And sometimes we come with ideas that may not be, you know, what we need. And so that's the reason we ask for others' discerning spirit to see what we have said or what we have come up with. Now, I'm not sure putting a bathtub on top of the church was what was really needed in that experience in Dunn, but it was what people come up with. But when they bounce it off of other Christians with discerning spirits, they can say, I'm not sure that's what we need. I don't receive that inclination to do that from God. But what God would have us to be is to be a church that welcomes others, that welcomes ideas, that we talk about it, and that we move forward as one people. When we have discerned, we have thought, we have prayed, we have studied, we have sought to see which direction to go, God can bless us and lead us that way if we will but let Him. The free church is one that welcomes new ideas to come into the spirit of the life and that encourages people to share that with others. We have examples within our own community of faith. I mean, there are many that I don't know about, but people going out and visiting people, it's a good idea. We can share with each other. Chris Atkins is working with a new young adult Sunday school class, and one of the things he wants to do is to go out and share with some of the people in our congregation that might need for their yards to be raked, sprucing up around the house. And the whole concept is the parents want to be an example for the children that they may know that the church is about serving and that they can learn by doing simple things as raking leaves, doing something kind for someone, the prayer shawl ministry. There are so many different things going on that people have said, let's do that. But if we can encourage each other to bring forth those ideas and put it into motion and into work and into under the guidance of God in the life of the church, it makes a tremendous difference. Where are we today in discerning our gifts of ministry? And all of us have them. Don't think if you don't. Even the simple thing as a smile from a child, even the simple thing as a handshake, if we are to be the people of God, we got to welcome all people into our midst. Not to keep anyone out, but to welcome all by the grace of God go thy. We need to welcome all to come in and to worship and to receive the abundance that God seeks to give each of us. What will we do? How will we proclaim who we are and sharing the gifts that we possess? Make no doubt about it. One day we will say, I wished I'd done this, or I wished I'd done that. I don't know what new skills you can learn, but we're all capable of doing it. And the Christian faith pushes us, encourages us, helps us to go forward, to be new people because we have found new life in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us as we seek to be His people, serving the people of the world. Amen.